my nature is Satchit Ananda. That is what we have heard from the scriptures. Why? That is the question. That is what Lakshmidhar Kavi is trying to prove. Should I just take the words of the scriptures and go with it? If you have the strong faith, absolutely go with it. But our rishis also had strong intellect. So faith is good, but faith where there is no intellect is also not good. And intellect with no faith also is not good. So they had both. Therefore they said, why? Have faith, what the scriptures are saying is correct, but why? So, my nature is existence and not I have existence. Likewise, my nature is consciousness and not I have consciousness. So, those we saw, so we'll not go today into those topics, but we want to start with the topic of my nature is bliss and not I have bliss. That is what has been taken up next. So we have chanted, so we'll not chant. Or shall we chant just together? We'll chant once. Ahame vasukham nanyat anyat che naiva tat sukham amadartham nahi preyaham. Madartham naswata priyam. So, aham, I. So, I here does not mean the jiva. It does not mean the ego. I here means atma. Atma eva, alone, is sukham, is this absoluteness. Is the nature of bliss. The word used is sukham, but by the word sukham is meant ananda swarup. So my nature is bliss and na anyat, and not other than that. So other than that means? Other than that means guna. So it is not a guna, it is not a quality of bliss. Okay. If anyat chet, so that word chet, yadi, if it is other than something, if it is other than sukha, then na eva tat sukham. Then it is not bliss. It doesn't have the inherent capability to give bliss. Now these two words that come up next in the shloka, amadartham and madartham. And that Swayam Prakashiti ji gives a different word for it. He calls it Atma Shesha and Anatma Shesha. So Madartham is Atma Shesha and Amadartham is Anatma Shesha. This technical word, but what it means is that which is liked by Atma is Atma Shesha. So it is defining Madartham. And Amadartham is not liked by the Atma. So Swayam Prakashiti ji, he elaborates this idea. And he says, if we were to look at objects in the world. Well, first the meaning and then what he says. because the meaning of the shloka is amadartham nahi priya. If it is not likable by me, amadartham, not likable by me, not desirable by me, then it is not dear to me. Then it doesn't have the bliss in it. That's why I don't like it. Right? So, and he gives an example of a snake. Snake, normally most human beings don't like. So if you don't like, that means it is not dear to you. If you don't like a snake, it is not dear to you. Simple. But then madartham na swatah priya. And if it is for me, then it inherently doesn't have bliss. And he gives an example of putra bharyadi. So it says, you look at the relations. They are for you. But these relations in which we consider that they give me joy, those same relations over time give me sorrow also. Likewise, for somebody who likes snake, well, they will say snake is for me. Snake is dear to me. But then that snake, when it bites, no longer becomes dear. So anything that we say is for me, then it loses the ability for it to be dear. Why is that? Swami Prakashati ji will cover. So he explains this first. Shloka meaning explain. Then he says, let's take a look at any object that is there in this world. And we can put them in four brackets, four buckets. One is priya, another is apriya, another is upeksha, and another is the nature, atma. So, if we take a look at something like snake, like tiger, then when they become not dear to me, then I run away from them. Can I ever run away from myself? I try to run away from the mind, which gives me trouble. So I try to numb the mind by taking a pill or going to sleep or drinking. These are different ways to numb the mind or to stop the thinking of it. But I cannot run away from my own self. And even in that endeavor, you know, that I'm trying to numb the mind, what am I trying to do? I am trying to separate myself from that which gives me sorrow. I am not trying to take sukha or take bliss, but I'm trying to remove that which gives me sorrow. Because the moment I do that, my blissful nature will shine on its own. So the first point is that which is not likable to me, that which is apriya, can never be the nature bliss. Okay? Then the second word, upeksha. Upeksha means indifferent. Like how a mud ball. There is no like, there is no dislike. It doesn't matter whether it exists or it doesn't exist. That way, I don't feel about myself. I have not felt about the Atma as, it doesn't matter if it is there or not. So that feeling experience tells me something different. So it is not upeksha also. I cannot remain indifferent with you. So then why can't we say it is priya? So if we go to say priya, then there is this problem. And that problem is that if it is dear to me, that means it inherently doesn't have the ability to give me bliss. So how can you say that it inherently doesn't have the ability to give me bliss? This is what the next question Swayam Prakashataji raises. So he says, anything that we see in this world that is used as a purpose to serve something. Now, anything that you use as a means to serve something, then it is meant for something. Correct? So, if I use bliss, meaning if I use Atma, which is this bliss I call, which is this guna I call, if I use this as a quality, then it has to mean that it is for the purpose of somebody. Correct? And that which is for purpose of somebody loses its inherent quality. Meaning, it is not serving, it's not self-serving. It is serving for somebody else. And by serving for somebody else, it becomes inferior. And to which it is served becomes superior. Okay, what is it still the point? What is the point? By telling inferior, telling superior, what is the point? The point is that anytime if we say I'm using the Atma to serve for my happiness, to gain happiness, I'm using the Atma, then the problem it creates is Atma, when it is used for my happiness, it becomes object and I become the subject. Same thing is a subject and same thing is an object. And in that subject-object relationship, problem occurs is that object is always separate from the subject. And if the object is separate from the subject, an object becomes inert. Because the real thing that is served is the subject. Subject is more important. So how can inert serve the Atma? So therefore, this idea to consider that Atma is a guna of sukha, of bliss, it doesn't make sense. Because it inherently lacks the quality of bliss. When you say it is guna, when you say it is a quality. You have to put your belief of what Atma is aside to understand this idea. Our belief of Atma is bliss, ananda. But we are trying to say, why can't we say that I am using Atma as a tool to make me happy, instead of saying, I am of the nature of happiness. Because, you know, in the world we find that there is joy that rises and also comes down. So there is increase of joy and decrease of joy. So if I am experiencing this, you know, increase and decrease in joy, that must tell me that I am using something to make myself happy. But when you say that I'm using something to make myself happy, I am using who something else? Myself only. This Atma, that guna that I'm talking about is myself only, right? This myself which is parted into a guna is serving my higher nature. So that means there are two natures in me. That which is the lower nature, then there is the higher nature. If the lower nature is bliss, I call, then how can the lower nature make the higher nature blissful? And if the higher nature lacks bliss, will it ever be satisfied by the lower nature's bliss? So the point is, subject-object dichotomy is created when we say that the Atma serves itself. Atma is not serving itself. Atma itself is bliss. We have to accept. So therefore, the fourth point, that Atma is my nature, or bliss is my nature, Sukha is my nature, is the only possible explanation that is logical. So then what about this increase and decrease in joy that we speak about in the world? So the increase and decrease in joy is not because of the Atma. The increase and decrease in joy is because of the mind. When the mind is satisfied, we feel the increase in joy. When the mind is restless, agitated, that's when there is decrease in joy. So it is the upadhi, our conditioning, that make us feel this change. And obviously, Swayam Prakashiti ji, he doesn't say anything without a quotation. So he gives a quotation. By Brahmananda. So Brahmananda ji, he says, same idea. Atma shesha upeksham cha dvesham cha iti chatushvapi. So there are four categories of Atma. So four categories. Atma shesha. Shesha means likable, priya. Upeksha, indifferent. Or dveshya, which is dislikable. These are four. Chaturshvapi. In four of them, Atma priyan priyaha. So self is most beloved. Priyan priyaha. Most beloved. And sheshaha द्वेषः उपेक्षे तत् अनयोः तत् अन्ययोः. मीनिंग द लव विच इज ऑब्जेक्ट शेष दैट विच इज द ऑब्जेक्ट लव दिस डिजायर्ड बाय मी काइंड ऑफ लव एंड द्वेष दैट विच इज हेटेड बाय मी एंड उपेक्षा दैट विच इज इंडिफरेंट आर कंप्लीटली डिफरेंट फ्रॉम द सेल्फ. So this is one quotation. Then he's not done. He says, there is a Yajnavalkya Matam. So, you know, those who follow Yajnavalkya's way of thinking. So that Yajnavalkya Matam says, if the means of happiness are food and drink. By food and drink, one becomes happy. That means food and drink are loved by me. I like them. But when I say I like them, their purpose goes to serve me. But they themselves are destroyed when they serve me. Therefore, if Atma is a guna like that, it has to get destroyed in order for it to serve me. And when it does, when it gets destroyed, it is not unlimited bliss. And we are seeking for unlimited bliss. We're not seeking for limited bliss. We're not looking for one pill of bliss every day. In this way, Swayam Prakashati ji gives an idea. This much is clear? Simple thought only. There wasn't much. Okay. All right. So now, the next question. The next question is very interesting. Okay, you said that, you know, Brahman is existence, consciousness, and this. Now, you first decide whether the nature of this Brahman is existence, consciousness, or bliss. You cannot say it is all three. You only said existence is the nature of Atma, but not its quality. Consciousness is the nature of Atma, but not its quality. And Ananda is also nature of Atma and not its quality. How can one thing have three natures? Okay. And the thing is, existence, consciousness and bliss are not even synonyms. Now, to indicate one thing, I can use a synonym. And that would, you know, give some hint. But here, existence, consciousness, bliss, completely opposite. How is that indicating one Atma? So therefore, your definition is some gadbad. Some problem is there. You need to correct it. So there's a doubt created like this by Swayam Prakashati. And, you know, in Sanskrit, we have heard the word ghata. Ghata we have heard many times. So ghata means pot. Kumbha. Kumbha also means pot only, right? Kalasha also means pot. So ghata, kumbha, kalasha, three words, synonyms to each other, right? So if you were to tell me there is a same object identified by existence, consciousness, bliss, I don't see any synonyms in this three words. Then how can you say that they are three, one? So now in order to remove this doubt that existence, consciousness, bliss are not three, but they are one and the same, is this next shloka. Nahi nana swarupam syat. Ekam vastu kadachanam. Tasmada khanda evasmi. Vijahat jagatim bhidam. Nahi nana swarupam syad ekam vastu kadachanam tasmad akhanda evasmi vijahat jagatim bhidam. The first word ekam. Ekam means one. So one means non-dual, Satchidananda, Atmakam. So Atma, which is of the nature of Satchidananda, is one alone, is indicated by this word, Ekam. And it is Vastu. Ekam Vastu. Vastu here doesn't mean object. So Lakshmidhar Kavi is not using the word vastu in the terms of object. What he is trying to get at is, by saying vastu, he is trying to indicate the idea of it is one only. There's nothing other than this one. There's no distinction possible for this item. That's why it is vastu. So this eka vastu, which is Brahman, kadachana, at any point in time, any point in time means before dawn of knowledge and even after dawn of knowledge. Before beginning of time, meaning during the state of unmanifest, causal state, or after the beginning of time, meaning during the state of this creation. That is what is meant by kadachan. So at any point in time, this eka vastu, this Brahman, nana swarupam nasyat, is never of multiple natures. So before creation also it is one, after creation also it is one, before ignorance also one, after ignorance also one. That is. So now it says, well, how can you say that it is one, but there is three words used? So So he says, here is the meaning. You know, if we say that Sat, Chit, Ananda were three mutually exclusive, existence separate from consciousness, consciousness separate from bliss, then existence will not remain existence, consciousness will not be consciousness, and Ananda will not be Ananda. So in order to show that these three are mutually inclusive, they are one and the same, Swayam Prakashitiji brings in the logic. You can say it's a reverse type of logic. So he says, okay, let us assume that existence is separate from consciousness. First assumption is this. If they were mutually exclusive, it will create problem. Existence will lose its existence, consciousness will lose its consciousness, and bliss will lose its bliss. So the first one he takes up is this. Existence separate from consciousness. If you do that, what happens to existence? Existence which lacks consciousness means nobody can know it. Existence which is unrecognizable. So existence is there, but you cannot know it. It is inert. It is like a pot. Pot is there, but the pot cannot know another pot. Right? Only the sentient can know the inert. The inert itself cannot know sentient. So where the presence of existence is there, but there is no presence of consciousness, what happens? There is no sentiency. So Atma which loses sentiency, how can you say it is Atma? Okay. Let's reverse that. This idea clear? Should be very simple. It gets a little complicated later down the road, but again, it should not be that complicated. Okay. So existence, from which you remove consciousness. The moment you remove consciousness from existence, existence is not recognizable. It is not recognizable, meaning this existence has become inert. And this existence cannot recognize anything that is there in this world. Okay. Problem number one. Problem number two. Reversing it, from consciousness, you remove existence. Consciousness is there, but there is no existence in the consciousness. So consciousness is there. First of all, to say consciousness is there, how did you know? If it doesn't exist, how do you know? The property of existence is not there, then how do you know? So, the example is of Shuktika Rajat. The shine of silver on the shell. It's not there, but yet it is seen. It becomes like that. So consciousness becomes a mirage, an appearance only. It's not really real. from consciousness we cannot remove existence, then the consciousness will lose the true meaning of consciousness. It no longer exists. Okay. And this same idea he quotes from Sarvajnato Muni. So Sarvajnato Muni said the same idea. So I'm not going to repeat the shloka, but the shloka is saying the same thing. Okay. Then the second point, or not second, third point it is. Okay, now for this time, let's assume we remove ananda from consciousness. Consciousness is there, but there is no ananda in it. If consciousness is there, but there is no ananda in it, then the question still comes is, why do I want it? If it has no endearment, if it has not joy, what good it is to know? Why do I want to know something that has no joy? So again, it creates the idea of inertness, like pot. So when you remove ananda, now it is not the point of existence you are thinking about. You are thinking about it from the point of joy it doesn't give you anymore. So that which is inert only gives you joy when there is likability. Here you've removed that likability altogether from consciousness. So why would it give you any joy? A pot of clay, not pot of clay, a pot only gives us joy when we have some idea of using it for some purpose or wanting to gift it to somebody. But if I have no other purpose, it stays in one corner in the house and that's it. Would I want to be like that, where I don't derive any joy out of myself? I just want to know, that's it. I just know, that's all. No, in our knowledge also, there is joy. There is bliss. So third issue. Fourth issue, reversing it. From ananda, you remove consciousness. Then what happens to that ananda? Again, same thing. Ananda becomes inert. Meaning, I cannot recognize it. I am not able to know this ananda altogether. So how can I have even an ananda that I cannot know? That I cannot recognize. So problem number four. Is that idea clear? Problem number five. From existence, you remove ananda, bliss. So if from existence, we remove bliss, then what happens to that existence? I want to exist, but I don't want any joy out of my existence. Again, it creates the same idea of inertness. So to imagine just existing for the sake of existing and not wanting any joy out of my existence doesn't make sense. And if you remove the other way, from ananda, you remove existence, it doesn't exist. Like the silver in the shell. It doesn't exist. There is no ananda. If there is no existence, ananda cannot be. So what this shows is that sat, chit, ananda, although are three different words, they point towards one Atma. they are indicator of one Atma alone. And then Swayam Prakashataji does one interesting thing. He says, it is not to do only with these three words. Don't think that Satchit Ananda are the only three words that describe Brahman. So what other words are there? Nitya, Mukta, Shuddha. Meaning, all the words that we talked about in the beginning that described Brahman. Those words also are describing Brahman only. And they are not mutually exclusive of each other. So we should not get confused that there are three words that describe Brahman. So he persists. Swayam Prakashataji, he persists and he says, no, but still it doesn't make sense. How can you have three words? What is the purpose of having three words to describe one Brahman? Why can't you describe it with one word? So he says, here's the idea. Each word that we take has a mukhya meaning. This is the way that Swayam Prakashataji describes mukhya meaning, important meaning, or the main meaning, the primary meaning, and amukhya meaning, which is secondary or by the way. It is not a real meaning. In context, you may use it sometimes. So, in this way, the mukhya meaning is what we call as the lakshyartha. The mukhya meaning, the primary meaning, is what we call as the lakshyartha. Lakshya artha. The word is directing us towards the vastu. I'm using the word vastu because that is what is used in the shloka. That self, that whatever that thing that is being described, it's indicative meaning. And the amukhya is called as vachyartha. Vachyartha is you just verbally use the word. In language we use it, but it can have multiple meanings. So, the word Sat, when we say, the word Sat has mukhya meaning Brahman. So, its lakshyartha is Brahman, but its vachyartha, we find in our scriptures only, a context of word Satya with space. Sometimes they say in scriptures that Sat is like Akasha. So it is what we call as the contextual meaning. Likewise, when we say Jnana, Jnana's mukhya meaning is Brahman. But its amukhya meaning, its vachyartha, has to do with the thoughts of the mind, the modifications of our thinking, the knowledge which we come to know because of something. Whether there's an object, whether there's a person, whatever it is. But that which is modifying and changing and we come to know, that is what we call as the vachyata of jnana. And likewise, but ananda also, the lakshyartha is Brahman, but vachyartha, when we say ananda, we indicate priya moda pramoda, the modifications of our joy. When we are just mentally thinking about it, our sense of joy may be a little less. When we are actually experiencing it, our sense of joy increases. So you see, though there are three words and they are not synonyms, because their vachyartha is not synonym, the indicated object is different. One is space, one is mind, one is our priya moda pramoda. So therefore, it can feel that they are not synonyms. But the lakshyartha is same. The indicated meaning is one and the same. The indicated meaning is Brahman. And therefore, they are synonyms. And therefore, they are indicating one. So, what do we have to do? We have to learn to discard the vachyartha and focus on lakshyartha. We have to drop and pick up. This dropping and picking up is called as jahat ajahat lakshyartha. Or sometimes it is also called as bhaga tyaga lakshyartha. Bhaga means part, tyaga means you renounce. So a part of the meaning you discard and the remaining part you retain. Jahat means drop, ajahat means you retain. So by this process of Bhagatyaga Lakshana, I retain the meaning Atma when I say Sat. So Sat means Atma. Chit means Atma. And Ananda means Atma. Likewise, Nitya means Atma. Mukta means Atma. And Shuddha also means Atma. So Asma, therefore, akhanda eva asmi. I am one unbroken, never disturbed. And disturbed by what? Jagatim dhiram. Disturbed by the Bhiram, the differences, the distinctions of the world. Jagati, Jagata. So the distinctions found in the world, I am different from that. But how do I come to know? Vijahat, when I give up. When I give up the indicated, the literal meaning, give up the vachyartha and retain the lakshyartha. indicated. Okay. You know, in computer language, we also do this many times. You know, the mouse which moves always, right? That mouse is called that arrow thing, right? You know, that arrow thing is there. When you move the mouse, that arrow thing moves. So it is called sometimes cursor. It is also coined sometimes as pointer, right? So we use multiple words, but we're not confused by it because we have accepted for these multiple words one meaning. We have not understood some multiple different meanings for them. And like that we do with so many things in life. When you when you take the meaning in that literal sense, you create humor out of it. Many people do that. In order to create humor, then they start this kind of thing. But then we say, but you know what I meant, right? Like, for example, in scripture only, our Shastra gives an example of Shono Dhavati. Shono means red. Red runs. Okay. So by saying Shono Dhavati, what comes to your mind? Red runs. Many things comes to mind. Somebody may be thinking red blood is running. But the context in which it is said is there's a red person wearing red clothes on a horse is running. Now, the person is not running, the person is riding the horse. But the context known, the moment you say Shono Dhavati, the context is understood that there is a rider riding the horse. So when somebody said it, what did we do? We dropped the literal meaning and we picked up the indicated meaning. When we finish our, when we are at a meeting somewhere and we say, okay, I'm done, then we gotta go home, right? So we say, okay, I'm going to take off. Right? I'm going to take off. What does that mean? Did I grow a pair of wings after a nice discussion that now I'm going to just take off from this? No, I know. And I say, I'm taking off, I'm going to ride in a bus, or not bus, in my own car, if I have my own car, otherwise some public transportation. And see how one word contextually is indicating so many different things. If I know that the person has, come in a public transportation, by saying I take off, I know that the person is going to go in the public transportation only. He's not going to grow a car out of thin air and then drive home. So word, when you drop the literal meaning and you pick up the indicated meaning. Therefore, why is Satchidananda one word indicating Brahman? It's because they are indicating Brahman through Vachyartha. Sorry, through Lakshyartha, not Vachyartha. And obviously, all of this Swami Prakashadiji says, is not my own word. He quotes, again, Sarvajnatva Muni for his thoughts. Okay. We pause here and then further we see next week. We finished 26. No, 25.